This is Kootenai Co-op Radio. I'm Scott Onishchuk. Today I am speaking with Dr. Jason Hine. Dr. Hine is an associate professor at the University of British Columbia. He's been working on a new technology that they are saying could be the future of drug testing. The first application of this technology outside of the UBC lab is taking place this weekend at the Shambhala Music Festival in Salmo, BC. Dr. Hine, thanks for taking the time to do this interview.
No problem.
You've been working on developing this technology that, according to the UBC article, is saying could be the future of drug testing at festivals. Could you just explain the technology?
Yeah, for sure. So we use a technique called HPLC, high pressure liquid chromatography. This is the same technique that when the FDA is looking at if a drug is safe or what it's composed of, that's what pharma companies use. So this is the industry standard for sort of analysis of any drug component. The problem with it in the past is you have a sample, like whatever the powder of the pill is, has to be prepared to be used by HPLC. You can't just walk up and give the sample. And, you know, HPLC is big, complicated, expensive. So we built a robot that allows people to take their sample. It will prepare it. It gets it ready. It does all the sort of normal expert technician steps necessary to take that sample into something HPLC can use. And then it injects in the HPLC and analyzes the data. So from the user perspective, if you drop off powder, you get an answer in about 10, 15 minutes.
So is that the major cost-saving component, is cutting out the technician?
It's not just the technician, right? So number one is its accuracy around how the technician would do these work. Second thing, too, is the HPLC is a portable HPLC. This is something that was designed by a company in the States called Xcend. So this is a field portable version of sort of the normal HPLC. So the combination of having robotics AI from what we develop in our lab, and then now this kind of mobile version of the analytical tool.
So how does it differ from other portable testing methods out there today?
So out there right now, the major portable ones are spectroscopy. These are something where something like light is being shined on the powder, and then from that, the readback of the sample is what you're interpreting. This is not any different than like what we use to study stars, right? We look at the light coming back from the star, we look at what's in it, and we sort of try to fit that to say, well, it's probably made up of these materials. The problem with that technique is if the sample isn't in what's called the training set, if it's a sample that it's never seen before, there's a chance it's going to get it wrong. The way that these spectroscopic methods work is you have to sort of test many, many different points and you train it to say this pattern of light equals this material. Even then, the error is pretty high. And for compounds like fentanyl or carfentanil, the error bar is too big to be safe. Really, what you get is an answer that says maybe this sample has fentanyl, or you miss it, or the quantity that's in there you get wrong. HPLC doesn't have those issues. So its accuracy is one, and second is flexibility. This tool can be changed quickly for no matter what the composition is. So, you know, we may train on everything from amphetamines, MDMA, psilocybin, and it's that same one technique works across the board.
How's testing gone so far?
So we've been going for about eight, nine months right now in the lab, working with BCCSU and Vancouver Health. Again, things are going really well. Like we've seen some good results from it. This is the first time it's out in the field at Shambhala. So we're actually working in the same health testing site with other established techniques. So what we're really doing is samples come in, it's tested by our team and by the other sort of mobile testing to compare how both systems are going. So we only fired up yesterday, but so far things are going really well.
So what is the benefit of being at Shambhala? Can you not just test these other methods in your lab at UBC?
Yeah, absolutely. We've already done that. And the difference is, you know, the point is to create a mobile technology that could be no user, right? We want to have something that is fast, could be walk-up, and could be, you know, stuck anywhere like a kiosk. So we really want to test it live, right? We have to take it out in the field, outside a controlled environment, make sure it still works well there, right? The robot has to be able to do its job without errors and stuff, even if it's not our nice controlled lab environment.
Are you in contact or working with anchors at Shambhala?
Yeah, absolutely. They're the ones that are sort of helping us with the overall volunteer component, and they're the ones that help coordinate our visit there.
And what about the future of that technology? Would this be something, like you're saying, kiosks, maybe you have them placed in places like the downtown east side? Would it be something that you could have in your home?
I wouldn't say you need it in your home. Like, it's still a very, call it larger specialty, but definitely something like the kiosk where there would be distributed in the community. So this fall, we have a Dropbox set up on campus where anybody could come, take a vial, drop it off, and it'll get tested anonymously. The next stage, though, is to put it into a kiosk one where somebody could go up to it like an ATM and interact with it. So it's not big enough that, you know, there's not one in every house, but it just has to be sort of proliferated in the community or at festivals so it's accessible.
Okay. And back to the UBC article saying the future of drug testing at festivals, to me this technology seems more applicable to just everyday life. Why festivals the focus?
Well, the festivals for right now is because, you know, this is a research project that we're building out of some of our automation. We need to find a way to basically make it accessible in an environment where people, there may be substance use happening anyway. Absolutely. The next step is to sort of make it broadly available to the community. We're trying to do it in stages. So the link over to the festivals is because, like you're just saying, it's one at a location rather than one distributed everywhere. As soon as we start to say, look, we're going to put it, you know, on the street in the downtown east side, there's other liability and upkeep issues we have to address. We don't have the capacity to make sure that we can support that right now. We're talking with a number of private capital and private venture to see how could this either be supported by somebody like Vancouver Health or Vancouver Police to say, you know, yes, we'd like to see this in our community. That's going to take some time. Right now, it's proving that it works and works better than what's out there right now. And if we can prove, you know, a higher standard of care, then we can get some support to say, look, this has to be broadly applicable.
Have you learned anything so far at Shambhala that you didn't already know?
Not from Shambhala, but I'd say that the one really cool thing we've done through our VCH and BCCSU time, there are samples that go through the normal routes of, you know, dropped off at Health Canada for analysis, for example. And first of all, we catch things they miss, which is really cool. That's the whole point of the technology. And the second thing, too, is, you know, if a sample gets dropped off at Canada Health, it could be 2 weeks, 3 weeks before an answer gets back, and we can get it done in a fraction of that time. So we have, you know, faster point of care. And in some cases, we're actually picking up things that were missed by the sort of standard testing.
What was the reason that you chose to do these first tests outside the lab at Shambhala?
Really, it comes down to the lead graduate student on this. Her name is Sarah Guzman. She's been connected to the drug testing and harm reduction community for quite a while, and BCCSU knows her, and she's been an incredible leader. So when Shambhala was organizing, they knew that we had a product coming or a project kind of moving along. And they made the offer, really. So the link was, this is a great opportunity. We have some people with our support. And, you know, because we're asking the team at Shambhala to really trust us, right? This is we're coming on site and being their guests. And it was just having that relationship that meant that this was a good choice first.
And would this be something that groups like Anchors would, maybe that'd be like the first place to go rather than working with municipalities?
Exactly. So, you know, having this broadly distributed first is exactly what we want to try and do. So working with community groups and broader.
And where can people find you at Shambhala if they want to test their substances?
They're at the tent, the health tent. I can't remember the specific name of it, but we're up there.
Okay, Dr. Heine, thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, and I wish you good luck with this going forward.
Awesome. Thank you.